You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store.
This is Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio with a message about Cookout NYC. Cookout NYC is the pinnacle event in July Good Beer Month. Cookout NYC will exclusively showcase the best of New York City breweries featuring limited edition beers and nationally renowned and award-winning chefs. A portion of the proceeds will benefit Just Foods Farm School. Community partners include Earth Matters, Teen Battle Chef, and the Kingsbury Community College Culinary Program. Check out cookoutnyc.com, co-hosted by Dixon's Meats, Six Point Craft Ales, Mama O's Kimchi, The Good Beer Seal, and radio hosts from Heritage Radio Network. Cookout NYC is the city's ultimate outdoor cooking and country fair event, July 10th from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Governor's Island.
Hey, and welcome to the food scene at HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Happy 5th of July. Just hanging here at Roberta's with Mallon and Getz, better known as Andrew Getz and Matthew Mallon. Perfumiers or perfumes? How do you say that word?
Apothecarians.
Apothecarians. Skincare.
Is that a word? I don't know.
Now it is. You've coined it on air.
Okay, excellent.
I actually stumbled upon your store in Chelsea, I think shortly after you opened in 2004, and have ever since been a fan of your product line. Your vitamin E moisturizing shaving cream is a must.
Well, thank you.
But I've always noticed...
Spoken with a man with a full beard.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping to stop by the store soon to get some more shaving cream because
good.
I ran out. I've also noticed every time that I've gone in that there's this collection of amazing, and I don't want to use the word scents or flavors because I'm hoping not too many people are eating your skincare products, but from rum to lime to mojito, this sensory overload of there has to be a background in food. There has to be a love of food and all things culinary going into these product lines.
Or a 12-step program.
Yeah. Never thought of it that way. But... you guys didn't necessarily have or envisioned a line of skincare products with some kind of food references years ago. Andrew,
no.
What was your background? Well, you just told me you grew up in Bay Ridge.
No, my dad.
Oh,
is
your
from,
father.
My dad is from Bay Ridge. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
My background was architecture and design. I'd worked for a company by the name of Vitra as their marketing director here in the U.S. for... just over 10 years. And it's really Matthew who has the illustrious career in cosmetics.
Yeah, yeah. And cosmetics for years upon years.
Yeah, well, I had I moved to New York to be in the executive training program at Saks Fifth Avenue. And
yeah.
I had been a buyer for Barney's when it was a family-run business. And we were looking to launch special products. I had left there to work for what was then a family-owned and operated business called Kiehl's.
Oh, yeah, right in the East Village.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is now, I think, probably 12 years owned by L'Oreal.
Yeah.
Which is when I left and was working for another family-run business called Prada.
Yeah.
And they were looking to develop some beauty products, and I was part of that team for a couple of years. And then we started writing a business plan for what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Well, how did you two meet?
In a place called, not to sound cliche,
yeah.
The Bar
yeah.
in the East Village, where all love is lost
yeah,
and found.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was 17 years ago.
Yeah, and how did these distinctly different backgrounds mesh together to create Melon gets.
Well, not fast.
Yeah. Are you talking on the personal level or on the yeah. apothecarian level?
Let's talk apothecarian.
Okay.
First.
Neither yes. was fast.
Yeah. but both are long lasting. Yes. So that's the important
17
thing.
Years later.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, really the idea, Matthew had always brought home tons and tons of products
yeah.
when he was working at whether it be Barney's or Kiehl's. And I was a really, your basic simple guy. I mean, I used a bar of Neutrogena to wash my face, shampoo my hair, and wash my body. I was the ultimate minimalist.
Yeah, actually, on your website, it says that your skin is oily with resilient qualities.
Yeah, it's very, yeah. I am resilient in yeah. many qualities, yeah. and my skin as well.
Yeah.
And but what I realized was, as Matthew would bring these different products home, that many of them were actually quite efficacious. And I did notice a difference that if you use a better product, you see better results. And I always like to use the analogy, you can drive the E-Class Mercedes cross-country or the beat-up old Dodge.
Yeah.
Both will get you there eventually, but doing it in luxury is a completely different experience.
Yeah.
The where Andrew was coming from, sort of from this oily, resilient place, myself being involved in the business, I had pretty serious skin conditions, rosacea, eczema, seborrhea. I'm allergic to synthetic fragrances.
Yeah.
And so having to vet these products over the course of these years was a challenge for me. And I saw a dermatologist, and I still continue to see a dermatologist my entire adult life. I take topical medications and oral medications for my skin conditions. And so when we had really started thinking about pooling or leveraging our backgrounds and experience, it was really taking all of these things into account.
Yeah, I mean, I see that same thing happening with diet as well. You know, people using these very synthetic foods to nourish themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's true allegory to the skincare. I mean, that's one side, one's interior. The
yeah,
other is
absolutely.
Exterior. Yeah.
Skin is your largest organ.
Yeah.
And so you are what you eat and you are what you moisturize
yeah,
with too,
what,
I suppose.
Yeah, what you end up wearing. Yeah.
But the genesis really was that when we started to look at the opportunity to pool these two backgrounds together, was that we really wanted to do something that resonated for both of us. So skincare spoke to us.
Yes.
We saw there was an opportunity to do something family-owned and operated, because Kiehl's went to L'Oreal, and a lot of these small businesses that I had been working with had sort of been sold off to big corporations, Procter & Gamble, Estee Lauder, etc. And there was an idea between the two of us to do something that was not only just family-owned and operated, but had or resonated with those old-world ideas of how people have always shopped for skincare. So traditional apothecaries you would have found like in London or Paris or New York. And of course, those places started with tried, true, and trusted natural ingredients, and those natural ingredients are often grown from the ground.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, of the ones that you used to work for, do the majority use natural ingredients? Kiehl's?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
other than water, I would guess.
Yeah.
I think there's a marketing spin that a lot of these companies do use natural ingredients, and they do to some extent. I think that where we separate ourselves very clearly is that while we do use natural ingredients, our brand's modern, and it's intended to incorporate gentle technologies in ways that allow for performance, so we can make those natural ingredients better today or more efficacious, as Andrew said.
Yeah. What are the base ingredients of your products?
In a nutshell, it's basically broken down in two categories, cleansers and moisturizers. Cleansers are basically based on an amino acid technology, which is protein,
plant.
Botanical proteins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our moisturizers are based on a fatty alcohol or fatty acid technology, which is really the technology of taking botanical oil, removing the greasy residue, and taking the nutritious part, which is water soluble, which absorbs quickly. And that's it in a nutshell. Obviously, it's a lot more complex, but if you had to break it down into two ideas, that would be
it. Well, I mean, it seems very similar to, you know, eliminating trans fat.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's sort of the idea of oil-free moisturizing for a moisturizer.
Yeah, I mean, I kept on seeing, again, so many allegories for your business and what you do to how people are trying to eat these days, you know, and almost consider it a farm-to-table apothecary, more so than
You know, I think it's even more so than that, just because of the history of how we've sort of guerrilla marketed what we do. And that is that Andrew is, in my opinion, he's an amateur gourmet cook.
Yeah.
And is amazing in that respect. And when we had started to launch our brand into market, we had looked for ways that would set ourselves apart, obviously, because we can't compete financially with Estee Lauder and Procter & Gamble. So we had developed this idea to host these small, intimate 12-people dinner parties within our Chelsea store. And we really are the shopkeepers who live above the shop, literally. Yeah. So we would go up to our apartment, Andrew would cook, I would bring the food down, and then we would host, you know, six beauty and or design editors and their spouses along with the two of us, and we would eat room temperature food that Andrew made, whatever was seasonal at the time, and have them in our store, without talking about business per se, but often really looking to incorporate ingredients from the products into what we were having for dinner to create synergy.
Yeah, and reciprocally, were you cooking things that then say, oh, wow, this would be a great bar of soap, this would be a great moisturizer?
Yeah, I don't know if it's exactly linear that way. Yeah. I mean, because they are very different in how we eat and how we create formulas. There's a lot of science involved with skincare, whereas I look at cooking in a much more farm-to-table oriented view.
Yeah, and where do you mainly get your ingredients or your inspirations from?
From cooking?
Yeah.
You know, I really love seasonal food. Matthew is complaining now because it's asparagus season and he doesn't like asparagus, and we've had asparagus. Yeah.
I like it. I just don't like the result.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And of course, we like local, and we try to do the best we can. That being said, we all drink coffee, and there's no local coffee.
Yeah.
And so none of us are saints, but we do try to take what's locally available and what's seasonably available and make the best of it. In terms of cooking, I tend to lean towards Italian just because there's a simplicity to it, and I adore that.
Yeah. Do you go to Union Square, to the Green Market?
In the past, we had spent a lot of time there, but now we're running a business. I don't always have that time, but we're very fortunate that we have a place up in the country where there's so much local products, although it obviously is very seasonal.
Yeah.
So that's we try to source a lot of it from up there.
Yeah, and you were just away for the last week upstate.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great.
You were just, Andrew and Matthew were just telling me about their wonderful home in Kinderhook.
In Columbia County, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know why you came down here for this interview and left that. You know,
it was tough.
Have you looked at the pizza out the window? Yeah. It's we may never leave.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, just another parallel to our business is that we have always tried, and I know you probably have more questions for Andrew with regards to food, but we've always tried to create a business that is addresses our local community. So all of our manufacturing, even for our skincare, is done locally. Connecticut, New Jersey, Long Island, with one or two singular exceptions. So we support family-owned and operated businesses, all local to New York City, to produce and manufacture our skincare products.
It inherently shows, though, too, even when going to the shop. It's funny because I've never met you two in person until today, and often I'm in the shop and I see one of the two of you behind the counter or milling about that, you know, kind of Wizard of Oz door you have in that back room, which I've always kind of peeked in ever since reading, I think it was in 2006, that Food and Wine piece about your dinner parties, which was the impetus for me to always say, I need to meet these guys somehow. I need to be invited to a dinner party.
Well, we'll have to do that. Yeah, absolutely.
Or now have you on air and discuss how these all these things kind of, you know, amalgamate. But, you know, back to the food too, you support the idea of supporting the community with your food, you know, bringing in like-minded design folk and, you know, general public of Chelsea. And I think, like, Italian cuisine is the perfect food for that too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are many great cuisines that can fulfill that, but I guess it's the one that is the most natural to me, for whatever reason, considering I'm not Italian. But it's just, it's something I adore. I love the country and language and obviously the food and all its diversity.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick break, come back and talk about some of the dishes that you've eaten at these dinner parties and some more about the ingredients that inspire you to make your
sounds fun.
Lime and you know, rum bars.
Excellent. Excellent.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
Service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Tuesday at noon, Dave Arnold, the author of CookingIssues.com, will discuss new and innovative techniques, equipment, and ingredients. Call in with your own questions to see if Dave and the crew can solve your cooking issues. Again, that's Tuesdays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Hey, and welcome back to The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network, here with Malin plus Getz. That's Andrew Getz and Matthew Malin, apothecarians?
Apparently we are.
Yes.
As of now.
Skincare and perfume impresarios. Great store in Chelsea. Go check it out. And we were just talking about these dinner parties that you have in the back of the store. Invite the community in. Do you remember your first one, what you served?
The first one? I don't remember what we served.
I remember the guests.
Yeah, I remember the guests. It's weird. I guess the meal was not as memorable as the guests.
Yeah, I mean, the dinner parties, the place settings are always bottles that Andrew makes labels for,
yeah,
for with the person's name on them. Ooh. So it's like our bottle.
Wine bottles? Or?
No, our skincare bottles,
oh, okay,
which have like a false label on them.
Yeah.
And the ingredients are the guests, and the description is the dinner, and we could probably dig it up somewhere and find it.
Yeah, the one memorable one, which is amazing that we remember,
yeah,
we have a partner in Australia called Mecca Cosmetica, and it was, I think, their 10th year anniversary, and they wanted us to host a party for all these expat Aussies. So, you know, we bought a case of red,
yeah,
a case of white, and I made a beautiful spring lamb, and it was like a debauchery like I've never seen people consume more alcohol in my whole entire life. And it went on to like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
I mean, we literally stumbled home.
Yeah, I'm surprised you remember that one as well.
Well, just because it was so forgot everything about it. That's why we remember
it. I especially remember it because I'm not a lamb fan.
Yeah,
and the lamb was delicious.
Yeah,
it was really, really exceptional.
That was my special lamb and asparagus.
Yeah, I think it probably was.
Yeah, yeah. Are there other dishes that have been big hits, most memorable of your dinner parties that, you know, people keep on asking for encore?
The one for food and wine was like a chicken and thyme, which was really simple. They all tend to be pretty simple and things that we can serve room temperature so that, you know, they're very casual and easy, and it's about the people and the conversation and just sort of enjoying the evening without it sort of being fussy in any
way. I mean, we don't have a full kitchen in the store, so we have to sort of prepare foods that are suitable for room temperature.
Yeah.
So that involves a lot of great roasted vegetables and fresh salad, local salads.
It's all the antipasti.
And usually, like, I mean, now if we were to do one in Chelsea, although we haven't recently, we were always trying to source like coffee locally, and now we have Grumpy's like literally half a block from our store. So, and they're awesome. But we've been doing a lot of the dinner parties upstate because there are a lot of New Yorkers and editors and people that we'd otherwise like to come to these parties up there, and then we can source things locally that are fresh and seasonal.
And we have a somewhat of a kitchen there.
Yeah, so. And you have Kinderhook Farm,
which is amazing.
Yeah, and they do the beef program with Marlowe and Daughters Diner.
Yep.
And what else were you saying? They have lamb, they have chicken.
Unbelievable lamb.
Eggs.
The chickens and the eggs are just amazing.
Yeah,
and you can actually stay there overnight in this little barn that they've renovated. It's awesome. It's so beautiful. The farm is beautiful in and of itself. So
Yeah, we had a beauty editor from Vogue up there last summer, and I said, "Oh, you got to see this farm. It's amazing. The fresh eggs are incredible." And apparently chickens are very attracted to toads, particularly well-manicured toads.
Yeah.
So this very fancy beauty editor is walking amongst the chickens, and all of a sudden it was like the birds that just came rushing and pecking at her.
Yeah,
her
that would
feet.
Have been a different Hitchcock
yeah,
film.
We, we call it the pecicure now. It's, and Matthew and the beauty editor were running one way, and her boyfriend and I were like, "Wow, these chickens are amazing. They're so great."
Yeah.
So.
And you yourself have a garden at your house.
We do. We do. We planted one this year. We fenced it in, and we're growing raspberries, blueberries, strawberries, blackberries. We have
tomatoes,
heirloom tomatoes, some mini, which we haven't reaped the rewards of yet, but we're looking forward to it. We have cauliflower.
Someday.
Some sunflowers.
Someday. You should have your own CSA.
It's the beginning of the beginning. It's the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of our first garden.
Yeah.
So it's a work in progress. Right now, the local floral and fauna seem to be winning.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to remedy that.
Yeah.
And we're lucky Kinderhook, the square, we're in the village, so the square in the village has a Saturday farmer's market.
Yeah.
So all the farmers come and they put their little stands up so we can have like fresh lettuces. And I mean, we go there pretty regularly and get amazing stuff.
Yeah. I've discovered it's much easier to go to the market than it is to grow your own.
Yeah. I know. People keep on thinking that farming is such an easy job. I mean, agrarian has never been equated to easy living.
Right.
In my mind, at least.
No.
I mean,
unless you're a gentleman farmer, which means somebody else is doing all the work.
Yeah.
And what was that farm that we just were introduced to this past weekend?
The Matt from the Hollow something sheep farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds, we haven't seen it yet, but we can't wait to go. It sounds, and it's literally the neighboring town of Stuyvesant. So we're excited to visit.
Whereas, you know, where we are now at Roberta's is kind of an oasis of all things culinary. I mean, you have such a plethora, such a, you know, ample garden of things to go and explore.
It's fortunate.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good.
What's interesting to me, though, is a lot of the things that you're saying that you eat and you grow and you enjoy aren't necessarily the ones that are direct scents or flavors, per se, in your products, you know.
Yeah,
there's grapefruit, peppermint, rum, mojito.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
We're growing mint.
We're growing mint.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
We have one checked off. Bergamot will be a little...
And sage. We're growing sage.
Oh, yeah, and
we have sage in some
of
our products.
Be difficult, bergamot, because it's from southern Italy. But I don't think the correlation is not necessarily always there, because when we create products, it's about using a product that's really efficacious, and it's there for a therapeutic reason, as opposed to we're making a fruit salad.
Yeah.
So, when we use grapefruit in our face cleanser, it's not there because Matthew and I personally love grapefruit, which we do.
Yeah.
But it's there because it's a great natural antimicrobial. It helps naturally exfoliate your skin. So, it's there for a very therapeutic reason, as well as the olfactory experience. It smells great, but then it dissipates. So, what we necessarily eat and what we enjoy aren't necessarily what we put in our products.
Yeah.
Some of the items that you're mentioning are really an opportunity for us to highlight that our products are intended for sensitive skin. As I mentioned, I suffered from many different ailments, skin ailments. And one of the things that we wanted to do was sort of go back to those traditional ideas of creating perfume and highlight that we don't use synthetic perfumes in any of our treatment products, whether it's for face, body, or hair, and we do them as a separate category. And so in doing so, we've looked to things that resonate with people, like rum, for instance. Now, rum has its origins in apothecaries hundreds of years ago as sort of being mood-altering and an anesthetic. So it had its place. And we're doing a synthetic version to sort of highlight that. And we're doing it as a fragrance separately, which has become very successful for us.
Yes.
Yeah, and both the dark rum candle and
the rum tonic. The rum hand wash and the rum tonic.
And we do a mojito, like you said, which is a candle, which is a blend of lime and peppermint. And the idea is, like every cleanser and moisturizer that we make creates perfect pH balance to the skin. If you were to burn lime and peppermint with dark rum, it becomes balanced or creates the cocktail, the mojito.
Yeah. So, I mean, as chefs try to create a dish and create balance between acids and sweets and
fats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warm, soft and warm with something fresh and crisp, or something citrusy with something sort of spicy, and how you, yeah, absolutely.
The whole brand, in fact, is based on that idea of balance. It's Malin and Goetz.
Yeah.
It's for women and men.
Yeah.
It's something natural. It's something technological.
Dry,
so
oily.
We've tried to always achieve some kind of duality when we talk about things in our with our product range,
but we have been able to use some of these things in parties. For instance, we have an amenity program with various hotels in Soho and Tribeca Grand here in Manhattan, and we did a rooftop party with them where we served mojitos, and you know, our mojito candle was burning, and it sort of created synergy, and it was fun, and you know, who doesn't like to drink a mojito?
The cannabis would have been a little bit more difficult in that venue.
I've seen a little more of these aromatics, cannabis, neroli. What else has recently been in there?
Tobacco.
Yeah.
We're the poster boys for Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Yeah.
Well, these all have like resonance to some sort of medicinal quality, and so we reference those things. But they're also fun and playful. I mean, when you're a skincare business or a perfume business, you want to attract a large volume of people so that you can keep your prices affordable, and that's just the nature of our business. So we want, you know, people who would only think of tobacco because it's fun and silly to buy our products, but then at the same time, somebody who might actually appreciate it for some of its more specific qualities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where I start seeing not just the sensitivity to skin, but to, you know, worldly ethnicity. You have stores, I mean, in Taiwan and Japan. And,
yeah.
Do you travel around? Do you get influenced by foods that you eat?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, always. Yeah. I mean, certainly from a cultural standpoint, traveling is the greatest education in the world. I don't know if it necessarily resonates in our products per se.
Yeah. I mean, I do see like lotus root recently.
Right. It's more, I think, it affects us as human beings and business. And how do we communicate with people, and what do we learn from other cultures?
Yeah.
I think that's the fascinating thing about traveling.
Yeah.
So.
And regarding traveling, where do you like to eat around the world?
Oh, gosh.
It's hard. I mean, you can't Tokyo, narrow it.
Everything in Tokyo.
Yeah. Japan, I mean, basically
everything in Hong Kong.
Italy, obviously, France.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of experience in South Asia, but we did spend some nice time in Singapore, and the food was incredible.
Oh, yeah. Singapore's amazing.
And, like, what are the flavors? What are the accents that you pick up in the cuisine there that you might want to bring back, you know, to your business?
It's I know the thing I wouldn't want to bring back in Singapore, which is called a durian. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it smells like a hefty bag of rotting trash on a hot summer day in New York.
Yeah.
And people there, I mean, they love it. It's a cultural thing. And I gave it the old college try. I thought, you know, I'm going to conquer this thing. And it conquered me.
Yeah.
But I think when you're eating Japanese food, ginger resonates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's often used in skincare products, and something that we've talked about and thought about in terms of using as a scented bath product of some sort for what we're doing. So certainly those things do resonate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely gets your imagination juices flowing. So.
And then Oto.
Yes.
What was the impetus? What actually is Oto, and what is the impetus of...
It's a Latin word for extract.
Yeah.
And, so Oto is an extract, I think, of 20 different florals.
Mostly. The idea was, since everything we do is unisex and intended for both men and women, how do you create a floral that doesn't smell like a flower?
Yeah.
And that was sort of the idea behind that particular candle. And its complement, its pair, is vetiver, which means grass.
Yeah.
So when you're burning floral extracts in grass, you get this idea of a garden. It becomes balanced.
Yeah.
Now I just have to do an asparagus that doesn't taste like an asparagus for Matthew. But that's a work in progress.
In asparagus that smells like pee.
Yeah.
That would be something.
We actually are in the process of doing a new candle, which had been requested by a magazine whose anniversary is coming up soon, a woman's magazine, and we hadn't done anything specifically with rose because it doesn't tend to be as gender neutral, but it's a great skincare item as well. And so it's something that we would like to incorporate in other things that we're doing, and so we're coming out with, for holiday, we're coming out with one single candle for this magazine, which will be called Rose.
Excellent.
So we're sort of excited about
that. I mean, you also have geranium, too, which often I don't feel is a you know, one way or another, a lot of people think it's more feminine than male, but I grew up with that scent around me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I love
it's very
it.
Green. I love geranium as well. Yeah.
And we do a natural geranium body wash, and then we do a synthetic geranium eau de toilette as well as candle. And they almost smell identical. We've been able to sort of, sort of cross that barrier.
Actually, I just figured out a pairing candle instead of one that smells like asparagus or asparagus pea. One that eliminates the smell of asparagus pea when you burn it in the bathroom.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
We're going to work on that
In fact, we were at dinner, a couple of parties over the weekend in Kinderhook, and the mosquitoes were out in full force in the country. And I was we were talking about creating a bug repellent. So some sort of beautifully smelling bug repellent that's natural based, like citronella and those sorts of ingredients that we could market with our company and otherwise be able to personally use when we're upstate.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it comes out of necessity, all these
things. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I said that's the marketing story. We were upstate and we needed a bug spray.
Necessity really is the mother of invention.
I thought it was Frank Zappa or his mother.
Well, actually, maybe.
Excellent. If you have not checked out Malin Getz, please go check out their store in Chelsea. Also, malingetz.com.
And is spelled out. And we also have a shop on the Upper West Side on Amsterdam Avenue and 82nd Street.
Yeah, I don't go above 14th Street. All right. I'm one of those.
Okay.
But for
it's
you,
nice up
for
there,
you
though.
I will stop by.
Yeah.
Also, the Food & Wine article in 2006, we haven't discussed the Minty Lime Baked Alaska. I'm a Baked Alaska freak. I just gave one to my girlfriend for her 30th birthday last weekend.
It's not an easy feat, the Baked Alaska.
Yeah.
I think that was my first one, if I'm not mistaken.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I love Baked Alaska. I think it's awesome. So,
yet to be replicated. It's odd. I've never made that again.
You should do it again. Yeah. It was really good.
I could see a Baked Alaska candle happening, too, or some kind of body cream.
Yeah,
exactly.
Ice creamy body cream. I'm sure you have plenty of people during these dinners pitching ideas
we
of
do.
What food to turn into apothecary.
Exactly. There's always a little cross-pollination.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you have coming out next. And like I said, a fan, and I will moisturize with your product.
Thanks for having us. And I'm going to personally bring you the shaving cream.
Excellent. Yeah, because it's getting unruly right
and,
now.
And we'll have you over for a dinner party for sure.
Wonderful.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Matthew, Andrew, malingetz.com. You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.com. Hope to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Featuring the legendary Mad Dog Tosto.
Photo Booth by Ryan Slack.
Waterworld.
Closed by Chimera Dactyl.
Mary Meyer.
Warren Bogart.
Death Killer. Asphalt Resistant Jeans.
All types of food for your face.
Sweet Soda by P&A.
Roberta's Bake Sale.
Heritage Foods USA.
Orange Chaney Eating Contest
by the Orange Chaney Brothers.
Live music by Alex Drugin,
Florida,
Paper Twin,
Dang Sign,
The Netherlands,
Team Robespierre,
Wild Yak,
Tam Hine,
Night Show,
yeah.
Sponsored by
Martin Greenfield Clothers,
Free Fitness Studio,
Heritage Radio Network,
Free Williamsburg,
6 Point Beer,
Momo's,
Sushi Shack,
Beer Box USA,
Planet of the Bates,
Bushwick Block Party,
it's a party in the street,
all day long.